This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. One person, one vote. It's the hallmark of our democracy and a right we hold dear. But there are millions of Americans who've lost that right because of a felony conviction. Getting the right to vote back is simple in some states and a lot more complicated in others. Today, we're going to take a look at the issues of felons voting. In a minute, we're going to talk to two people on separate sides of the issue. But right now with us, we've got Edward Grijalva. He got his voting rights back this spring after a decade of not being able to go to the polls. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
So are you excited?
Yes. Well, as you know, it's been quite a while since I did vote, and this particular election, I think, is drawing more attention than the previous election. So, yes, I am.
All right. Can you tell us just briefly about your background and why you lost your voting rights?
Well, normally, I guess, in the state of Arizona, in any case, you lose your right to vote when you're convicted of a criminal offense, a felony offense, and you go to prison, then you lose your right to vote.
All right. Arizona is one of the states that doesn't automatically restore voting rights when you're released from prison. And so what do former felons in Arizona have to do to get their rights back?
Well, one of the problems is that most people aren't informed when they're released from prison. And depending on how many felonies they've had and the types of felonies that they've had, they normally would have to probably use a lawyer because the process isn't that simple. There's a project in Tucson through the University of Arizona law students, and they have a project called Restoration Rights, and it's headed by Jonathan Silverman. And that's how I got involved in this. Somebody sent me an email. And they did all the footwork for me. And so a lot of that is very difficult, especially for people who have limited education, and trying to understand the process is difficult for them. And so that's what happened with me.
Do you think it's fair for, and the states are all different in their laws, but do you think it's fair for people to have their voting rights taken away, particularly if it's almost impossible for them to get it back?
Of course not. I mean, I don't see, I don't even know where this whole started, because apparently, I mean, my understanding is that this is a right and not a privilege, and what one has to do with the other is, I just can't seem to figure that out. I understand where, some of the limitations that you have is you can't own a firearm, and that's for life. I can't own a firearm for life, although my crimes never involved a weapon of any sort. So, I mean, it's got all sorts of things caught up into it, but no. And one of the problems with that is that prison supposedly is a place where people get rehabilitated. And when people leave prison and they're attempting to enter into the larger society, it keeps them disconnected or disenfranchised. And, I mean, if it's something that everybody else can do, what is the problem with somebody who's been convicted of a crime not being able to vote?
Do you think people care? And what I mean by that is that there's it couldn't be a more exciting time to be a new voter. But for people who are former felons, in many cases, there are a lot of issues on the table. Can you get a job? You know, a lot of job applications ask if you've been convicted of a felony. What are your prospects for reintegrating with your family? There's a lot of things on the table. How much do you think people who are former felons just, you know, reentering really put voting down as a priority?
That's one of the issues, and I don't think many of them do. Part of that is because, you have to look at the basic needs of people, like you said earlier. I mean, if you can't get a job, voting doesn't seem to be a priority. You need to eat, pay your rent, do whatever. And so, when those things are taken care of, voting does become important, and it should be important, and I think that's something that we really need to continue to educate ex-offenders as they're coming out of prison, that it is a right that you can have restored, and there is a process for doing that. And any help that we can offer to people that are having difficulty certainly is something that we can do for people. But I for instance, this particular project that the University of Arizona has, I wouldn't have known about it had not somebody emailed me and said, look, this is going on. I think this would be something that would be helpful to you.
All right. Edward, you're now working as a drug treatment coordinator in Tucson. So, I mean, I don't know what you're allowed or not allowed to do, but do you ever talk with some of the folks that you're helping about the issue of voting and perhaps even the things that you went through to get your vote back?
We normally, of course we do, because our treatment process basically involves three main points, and that is, of course, the person remaining abstinent, clean and sober, taking a look, number two, taking a look at their health, and the other one is what we call community. And in order to be part of community, of course, you have to hopefully get a job, support your family, get involved in the community. But that also involves having your rights restored, and voting is, again, part of that bigger piece of being part of the community. Otherwise, we ex-offenders will remain in that subculture that their mentality just kind of keeps them there if we don't push them in a different direction.
Well, Edward, appreciate you coming on the show and giving us your perspective. Take care.
Thank you very much.
That was Edward Grijalva. He recently had his voting rights restored after a decade, and he joined us from NPR Studios in Tucson, Arizona.